Welcome to Deckheads, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to Deckheads with your hosts, Nick and Anna, broadcasting from the bottom of the boat, below deck.
Ooh, I'm horny.
All yacht talk all the time.
I'm having a party.
We're shoveling coal to keep this show afloat.
I love cocaine.
We're off the map in international waters.
I need some drama, me.
Hide that cocaine.
Never.
In my nose.
Just so you know, I'm in an open relationship.
Below deck.
Woo!
Below me.
What?
Deckhead.
Anna.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
Hey, this is Deckheads, the show where we watch Below Deck and then talk about it and somehow spend more time talking about it than they did airing it.
That's your fault. So, yes, this is Deckheads with Nick and Anners. I'm Anna.
Did you forget your name?
No, I gave myself a little fun nickname for the show.
Does it concern you that no one has given you a nickname in your life? Does that make you feel bad?
You're not allowed to
know them.
You're not allowed to know them, bro.
No, I have a girlfriend. She just lives in Canada.
I have a childhood nickname, which I'm not going to reveal because I don't want people to call me it because it annoys the shit out of me when my family
still calls me Anna Banana.
No, I have been called Banana. I have friends who just call me Banana. Literally, they just call me Banana. I have no sense of it, though.
What about Ana Platano?
What the fuck, dude?
All right. Well, I'm guessing that's a no.
No. Yeah, you're right. Banana and then the childhood one. And you know what? Fuck the childhood one.
What type of nickname was it?
What category? It's one that makes no sense. It was just like a funny noise that turned into a nickname.
No, your name was Fart.
Okay.
Oh my God. When you entered a room, all the kids would start waving at their noses. Are you kidding me?
You know, that's...
That is sad. All right. Well, let's get started.
Well, you know, that's tough for me. Okay, well, you know what? Fuck you, Nick. Okay, guys, let's get the show started. Just joking. Lahala and Monaco. That should be our Monaco.
Monaco.
Monaco should be our nicknames. Guys, we are talking.
That's good. Let's do it.
Okay, Lahala and Monaco.
Coming at you, Lahala and Monaco. Ready to start this show.
So we have a great guest on today's episode. And just to give you a sense, we are covering Below Deck Season 8, Episode 4. This guest and I DM on Twitter about reality shows all the time. He watches them all. You may have heard this guest on Daily Zeitgeist or Culture Kings. You may have watched him with your eyes on How to Get Away with Murder, on The Chi, Hustling Shoes. Sneakers? Jesus, where am I? Yeah, we have true actor, not like one of these dumb comedians we always have on, like a real dramatur. Behzad Dabu is here.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
I would like to come in and say, hey, that's offensive. Comedians can act too, but every casting director I know disagrees. Welcome to the show.
Well, I would like to say I've been in a couple dramas. I'm a trained actor and every casting director is like, oh, he can't do comedy. Well, and it's like, of course I can.
That's why.
You know, it's like
hey,
they won't.
What's harder? Drama acting or comedy acting? And know very much that I will be very offended if you say drama is harder than comedy. Okay, answer.
First of all, I've never done stand-up in my whole life, so I'm not talking about stand-up. I'm talking about, like, comedy acting.
Oh, no. Yes,
yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, but I think a good comedic actor is actually playing comedy as tragedy.
Wow. Yes. No, yeah, sure, for sure,
right?
For sure.
And so I think comedy's harder because you have to add an element of timing to it as well. That's super important. But for me, more what I would say is, like, stage is harder than screen for me.
Ah, yes, because you also have to yell.
But it's like what they do often is like they'll take if you and I are having a conversation on screen, they'll take my 13th take response and they'll put it to your second take delivery. And then they'll take take your 15th take response to my 13th take and they're editing all things together. Whereas on stage, we're give and take where it's live. It's breathing. We're all breathing the same air at the same moment at the same time. It's tough.
Hmm. Oh, I don't like
yeah.
that.
What's that?
I said, I don't like that.
Oh, okay. No, I agree with you. I did a thing recently where I, you know, it's like whenever I'm acting, I'm like, oh, this is, you know, this is nerve-wracking. I'm on set so rarely. So like, oh, I got to get it down. And then I did something recently where there was like a problem with my costume. And they did take after take. And they were like, we got to fix that costume. And then I ended up doing 10 takes before I actually, before they could actually use the anything.
Right.
So I was like so grateful that I like got my nerves out. And it was like the only right. time I felt like I was ever comfortable like doing right. the first scene in something.
I'm trained in the stage and I never thought I would do things on screen. And so like I feel like I learned on screen from being on set. Yeah. I actually like if you watch the first episode of television I've done and then the seventh episode of television, you could already see I'm more comfortable because I learned. Being on set, it's like you don't go to college to learn to how to be on set. And I think you get more and more comfortable the more and more you do it.
For
and
sure.
In the same way, you get 10 takes. Of course, take 11, you start to discover new things and like feel more comfortable and be more in your body. So of course, like it was better then.
I actually went to school for acting. I don't know if this ever. I was an acting major in college.
Were you really?
I quit college after 2 years, but I had George Mason University. And
I know George Mason over in D.C., yeah.
Yeah.
You were an acting major?
Yes, I was. And then I quit school and moved to New York to become a comedian. But I most definitely went to school because I had to. And then I figured this is the only thing you can be that's not a regular student. And then I left.
I worked with someone from George Mason. George Mason, shout out to Jen T. Kaz, who is the director of admissions at George Mason.
Oh, hell yeah.
So if you're listening, Jen,
she loves shout out. Show. Jen loves this show. I know.
Jen might. Jen, I have no idea, but I bet Jen watches Below Deck.
Jen, thanks for listening. Any Jen who's listening, shout out to you. Okay,
shout
guys.
Out, Jen.
Oh, before we get into anything, yes. I have a bit of a scoop.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Here we go.
I talked to a friend of mine.
Tell me more.
You know I talked to this friend because this friend has a friend who was editing new season of Below Deck.
This one?
No, not this one.
Oh.
It's one that has not come out yet.
What?
Wow.
But then I got some more info.
Okay.
Because this person is actually willing to be on our show.
That's wild. They'll get fired.
No, this is what they're waiting until the job is done.
Oh, okay.
And so
they won't get rehired.
But this is, or maybe not even until the job is done, but until there is an announcement made, because another element of this is that this person is not working on any Below Deck show that we have knowledge of. This person is editing a new spinoff.
No.
Remember how Sailing Yacht came out of nowhere 1 week and then was just on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a fourth Below Deck coming.
Wait, is it Below Deck?
Caribbean.
No, they're already in the Caribbean.
I would assume. Yeah, that's the first one. Well, they're not always in the Caribbean.
It would have to be a type of boat, like Below Deck cruise ships.
Below Deck cruise ships.
That's a nightmare.
That's hard to believe.
It's all Bruno.
Or I was thinking just like set up another one in Thailand. They love going to Thailand or Fiji.
But
or
the whole.
But that's what I'm saying. Usually there's Below Deck Med and then usually Captain Lee is like in the Far East.
He's usually,
they had the hurricane, so he
Hurricane Maria pushed them to Thailand, but they're back in the Caribbean for this episode. So I mean, this season, so they like the Caribbean unless there's a fucking hurricane,
right?
I hate when hurricanes inconvenience my television show watching.
Well, I wish they would have talked to us because I really do want to get some of my Below Deck spinoff ideas out there. Below Deck, Oops All Stews, still a good idea.
Please don't do this. Let's get into our... So I asked three questions up top to all our guests to really vibe them out on Below Deck, Bessa.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
One, I'm curious, when did you start watching Below Deck?
So this is funny. I had a conversation with my manager today and I was telling him what I was doing. And I was like, I'm about to go be on a Below Deck podcast. And I won't say who my manager is, but he was like, why does someone as busy as you watch all that shit? And I was like, I got to be honest with you. I watch 90% of Bravo. I love reality television. And I was like, it's because I'm so busy. I like to sit at home and watch Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and Below Deck and Below Deck Med. And I love watching this shit.
You ever say this to your manager? You say like, hey, listen up, fucker. You say that. Hey, listen up, fucker. Maybe if you got me some more work.
I wouldn't have time.
Yeah. No, and he'd be like, that's what an agent does. Yeah. And you're like, you deal with that.
And, he's great. But I told him that I'm actually really interested in doing a challenge recap podcast because I love MTV's The Challenge. Yeah. It's like my favorite reality show. And I was like, he was like, yeah, but what happens when the show's over? Like, what, you just done with the podcast? I go, dude, it's season 36. Like, yeah. Like, what are you talking about? And I guess my point of bringing this up is we've been watching this shit since we were kids. Like, yeah. I feel like was Saved by the Bell great television? I don't know. I watched it when I was 11, so it was the best thing I ever watched. And now you can't tell me otherwise.
Yeah.
And so that's how I feel about Fresh Prince. And so that's how I feel about The Challenge. I've been watching Johnny Bananas and Leroy fight for 25 years. That's longer than I've known Friends. And so I've been watching Below Deck since the very beginning.
No, okay.
You still watch Real World?
I still watch Real World, The Challenge, but not Real World.
That's crazy. I'm the opposite. I still watch Real World, but I'm not a challenge
kid. Is Real World still on?
Oh my God. Get the fuck out of here.
They left and came back then because they left for a while.
Yeah, they did a Chicago season a little bit ago.
No, they did. Their last season was last year on Facebook Watch.
Oh, okay. That's why I don't know what's going on because it's on Facebook Watch.
It's not as prestigious as it was.
I love The Challenge so much. To combine competition and strategy and like bullshit Big Brother is great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I really miss Road Rules. Road Rules was great. Bring that back. But I guess they turned that basically into The Challenge. But anyway. Okay, so what has been your favorite season, you think? Of Below Deck in all the franchises.
Oh, that's hard for me. Oh my God, that's hard for me. I love the seasons with crazy chefs, and I'm bad with their names. But who's the
Mila?
Oh my God, Mila, the chef Mila. Oh my God, the nachos. Do we think she just lied? Did she just lie about her resume?
I think
there was some shady business going on. Yes. There's, you know, Anna has some speculation that maybe it was a producer joke because her resume does not add up.
Also, if you really look her up online, you can find like weird sites with her on it as like model actress. So it's like,
So who's the Below Deck chef that's not the good-looking white dude with the American accent, but the British guy who's a little... Ben. I love seasons with Ben because he causes a lot of... He's just so dramatic. I love Ben. So my favorite... I like Ben a lot.
Okay,
Ben is a higher class of reality show contestant.
Ben was like in... He like literally went to elementary school with like Harry and... What's the other one? The other royal? Harry William? And William. Like, he went to school with them and then is on Below Deck. That's... Wow, I wonder if he'll be on the Crown.
Also, I can't stand watching her, but, like, as a like a hate watch, I enjoy hate watching Riley Gerber.
Ooh, yeah.
I feel like she's one of those people who, like, even when she's right about something, she makes the problem worse.
Yeah.
It's like, even when I'm like, okay, you have a point. He did talk to you like a misogynist, but then you were like, well, fuck you, Ashton. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa.
You can't scream a good point at the top of your lungs.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
we have very differing opinions on Riley here at this show.
I think she was
more in your court.
I do agree that she's aggressive and comes at you hot, but I also think she is treated like shit by most of the guys. Like, she's just...
Well, that second season turned into a boys versus girls affair.
Yeah.
And so it was hard for us to see anything else but our tribal.
I think Riley is like a true true barometer of where you stand on gender issues because I did see a little bit of that. I was like, all right, yeah, they do kind of like outcast her. But at the same time, I'm like, I would outcast her. She's horrible. And she is so like looking for a reason to be offended constantly. He'll be like, hey, Riley, do you mind picking up the tarp? And she'll be like, really? You're going to ask me to pick up the tarp right now? And I'm like, that's the job.
I couldn't believe she got away with it. And then they brought her back. I'm like, it's just conflict.
I do want to point out, Captain Lee in the after show, whatever, on Watch What Happens Live, did a thing where they were like, who do you pick between who? And when they put Riley and Kat, remember Kat from season one and possibly two. I can't remember the one who took the Xanax and drank or whatever. Yeah,
came back and stopped being chose, so drunk.
Yeah, and he chose Riley over Kat. Yep. And I thought he loved Kat because he let her get away with some shit.
I could see on his face, if they had given him more time, he would have chosen Kat.
Okay. Well, all right. Here's my final question for you.
Okay.
And then the show ends. Who has been your favorite all-time cast member ever?
Oh, my God. This is so hard for me because I forget them. Like, I think of them and then I forget them.
Oh, for sure. There is nothing easier than forgetting 100 white people.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's no diversity in this show.
Correct. I really do love Captain Sandy.
Interesting. Wow. That's a first. I'll have to write that down. I take tallies to see who likes who. It's interesting to me.
Like, I'm going to get off this thing and I'm going to be like, oh my God, all of these people. Okay, look, to watch, I do enjoy watching Chef Ben. I know I've said that, but I do love watching Chef Ben. I also thought... the Brazilian chef last season on Mediterranean was such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Kiko.
I love Kiko.
I like Bugsy.
Oh, interesting. Whoa! Is that your final answer of your fave, Bugsy?
Yeah, I like Bugsy.
Okay. You love a human table piece?
What does that even mean?
A walking tablecloth?
She wears walking table so... setting? Much gear all over her body. She got 44 hair clips on. She's got 15 necklaces on. And on
she's
top
like,
of that,
she's like Jennifer Aniston in that movie.
Which one?
Where she has to wear all the thing at the restaurant. She has to wear all
the flair.
In office
the flair.
Face.
Yeah. Yes.
Flair.
Yes.
No, yes.
Bugsy is a Claire's catalog.
Yeah.
Just thrown up on her. Bugsy could lie down on any table in the world and be the most beautiful table setting you've ever seen.
You guys are talking about lying down on tables when in this last episode a naked woman lied down on a table and ate sushi off of her.
How uncomfortable.
And she had to act dead, which is devastating to me.
And the guy went right for her vagina to grab the first piece of fish and then laughed about it. And I was like, cool, really original. You
well,
took
what
the
else
vagina.
Would you do? Yeah.
Well, then he's like,
somebody's got to do it.
The fact that they take selfies with this poor, I hate shit like that. It's like no one should have to do that.
And it wasn't nearly as bad as last week's guest.
Oh,
that
God,
those
Charlie.
Guests were horrible.
Yeah.
Well,
Charlie.
As we did a little deep digging, and that guy, Charlie, that was his job to be a piece of shit. And he acted like, I usually would act way better, but I was putting on a show for the show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, there's a reason they asked you to come and be shitty. Because you're so close already.
Yeah.
I thought they were horrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure. No, I would kick them all off the boat.
When the one girl was like, yeah. Really? You're gonna flirt with the hot steward guy? Really? It's my birthday? I was like, what?
Very confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder if they edited out something that would have made that make sense.
Yeah, it was very abrupt of her being like, so, you know, Shay, like James Rando Deckhand, and you're going to have him, you're going to do a body shot off him on your birthday. It's like, yeah, exactly. It's my birthday. Get off my ass, bitch. But then that girl it was her birthday, whatever. I can't remember her name. She was so chill about it, like weird, like taking shots while Shay like proceeded to get further and further upset. And then what's his name? Charlie was like, you are embarrassing me. Stay down here. You're in. Embarrassing me. And it's like, bitch, you have been embarrassing yourself this whole time. Relax.
Yeah. What's funny about this season is so far what I'm noticing, a lot of new characters this season.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie is the same. And I don't know if I think Rachel's a new chef too, right?
Yeah, Rachel's new.
But Eddie's the same, but more boring and less Robin Williams.
I think outside of Eddie and Rachel, every single other person has a chance to be... replaced. I don't know that any of them are going to make it. Like this Stu Francesca, I don't know if this like Elizabeth person who's like pretty but doesn't like doing laundry.
Yeah.
James is not going to make it.
No.
And the fucking dude Shane is not going to make it.
Sunshine, baby.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Okay.
That guy is already over. I mean, that's the kind of, he's already at that point where I don't know how someone just doesn't push him off the boat.
Can you explain his joke that he made at the dinner table to me? I don't get it.
Well, we'll get into that because that riddle was straight up nonsense. And I don't know what he was I couldn't tell you what he was talking about.
I legitimately don't understand even what he's trying to get at there.
I couldn't, I have no idea. It didn't make, that's why everyone's just like, there's such a clear disconnect between everyone on this crew. Like, no one knows what James is saying. Rachel's on some other fucking planet. Sunshine Shane is just, maybe slow? I don't know. I don't know what's going on with anyone. Also, he's like rapping. He's like freestyling, which bums Eddie out. Elizabeth is like, namaste somewhere. And Ash is like sleep deprived. Like no one is connecting on any level.
And did I miss something? Ash's bags didn't arrive, right?
It did arrive finally at the end of this episode.
Okay.
I have one question for you. You said you like Captain Sandy. How did you feel about her on season 5?
This last season?
Yeah.
Guys, Hannah sucks.
Interesting take. Go
so
on.
I don't. So like, I understand that like people are like, oh, she's overreacting. It was just a weed pen. And like, look, I'm a guy who fucking smokes weed every day. I take edibles every night. I get it. But like,
drug addict. If, okay.
But if there are rules on ships that you know about, then like, yeah, and Malia's a rat. Fine. She's a narc. Fine. But like, what's Sandy supposed to do? When someone's like, you have drugs on and there's like rules like maritime law and you're supposed to do something about it. Like now, you know, there's cameras that show me that I know I got to do something about it. Hannah sucks.
Yeah, for sure. No, Sandy's not the villain there. It's it is Hannah because you want to think it's Malia. But again, Malia had the whole season to take that photo and she didn't take the photo until Hannah refused to give up her bedroom so that Malia and Tom could be together. So it was retaliation. And if you have drugs on board and everyone's being cool about it, then you need to repay the favor and be cool enough to move rooms.
Also, yeah. Outside of that, like, let's just do that. How can you not be cool enough to move rooms when your boyfriend chef shows up on board to save you guys? Give her the damn room with her boyfriend that she hasn't seen in weeks. It just makes... you got to be an evil person not to do it.
Her and Bugs just did not vibe. Like, I also imagine being like, hey, you need to room with your enemy who's potentially going to replace you.
Yeah. And I'd be like, well, we're the two single people. Everyone else is coupled up. But if anything, separate the hot Belgian model and the hot Florida model girl. Like, because Tom and Malia are a couple. He shows up on this boat. They should be able to be in the same cabin. They haven't even touched each other in weeks. Let them be in the same cabin.
Yeah, but the other couple was already together. So it would have been so much more drama to try to break them up.
But wasn't it true? Like Bugs has said this a couple times. Bugs and Hannah were fine that season. They didn't get in any fights that season.
Yeah, it was complicated. I will say I did not appreciate how Captain Sandy treated Kiko. I think in the end, she helped Kiko's downfall.
Agreed, but dude, I didn't listen. Did you guys blame Hannah for the Vegas meal? Because Hannah said that nachos was okay and that fried foods was okay to Kiko, who didn't know what a Vegas meal was.
I think that helped fuck him over as well, yeah.
She said those things, but even the ones that he made, like, they were so shitty looking.
True.
Yeah.
But he was like, what's Vegas? I don't know what a Vegas meal is. And then she was like, oh, fried foods, finger foods. She even said the word nachos.
Yeah, but I think she was expecting him to like cordon blew it up. Yeah, you know, and he was just like, here's a plate of fried chicken.
It was so weird because the night before he had the whole thing where like the guests brought friends on board and he made like a fucking 12 course meal for like 13 people.
Yeah.
Knocked it out of the park.
And I'm like, how did the same chef do that?
I don't know.
He loved making that one dish, moqueca. Moqueca.
I love moqueca. Moqueca from Brazil. Moqueca. I would love some moqueca. I heard
every
it so
night,
much.
Every night he was like, moqueca reconfigured. Moqueca in a new way.
Yeah, it was Kiko's beef cheeks.
Yeah, it was his beef cheeks. All right, let's get into this episode. So we continue with the sushi model on the table acting dead. And Ash, who I did not realize, I thought her name was Ashley. It's apparently Ashling.
Aisling. Mm-hmm.
What are we
doing
here?
Question for you both real quick.
Yeah.
If you're going to eat sushi off of a model on a table, do you want her to just like be quiet and act dead? Or do you want her to like converse with you while you eat sushi off of her?
Well, she definitely chose the act dead side, which was disconcerting. I would have thought before seeing her do that I didn't want her to talk. But then after seeing her act dead, I'm like, well, you got to show me you're alive.
Yeah. If I'm eating sushi off a model, there's no way I wouldn't be able to be like, so, where are you from?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, at least acknowledge the absurdity of the situation. Yeah.
So, hey, what agency are you with?
Yeah. You ever done this before?
Yeah.
Was it your decision to put a piece on your vagina or?
Oh, man. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
They did that to stop James from like whipping his dick out. Oh, God. The horn dog, dude. But. Anyway, Aisling is crying about having no underwear. And Francesca has like a human Chief Stew moment where she like feels bad for Ash and like giving her a hug and be like, it's okay. It's okay. Everything will work out, which is very human of her. But sorry, bitch. Not good TV, Francesca. Give me some straight up Kate Chastain, like straight stare into your soul while you're crying. Like she doesn't even feel it.
Oh, I love Kate Chastain and the relationship she had with that gay stewardess like 2 seasons ago.
Josiah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Their relationship is my favorite. I love those two.
They are the best. They were the best team up, like stew team up. Like they were unstoppable.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Also, absolutely. In the after show last night, Captain Lee picked Josiah over who was that dead eyed Amazon model?
Sierra.
Just the worst. She the biggest change from what I thought she was going to be to what she ended up being. But yeah, Sierra. She did my boy Gmail wrong.
Shut up. He was out of control. Yeah, so Eddie is tripping on his deck team because Izzy's the only one who knows what's going on. Shane is just there to like save the ocean from plastic, and James is just trying to party. So he's like, I foresee Eddie potentially exploding at some point.
Like next episode.
Yes, exactly. Eddie's not
question.
Well.
Who likes doing, who secretly likes, no matter how much they protest, taking their clothes off, wearing a thong and dancing for guests? Ashton or James?
I think Ashton.
Ashton. They both clearly... Yeah, because like they do the thing, well, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not going to
do
that.
Sure.
I can't do it. And then they're like, yeah, woohoo! It's like, you guys.
Yeah,
like,
surprisingly, James doesn't have any other part of his personality. He's Joe. From what I've seen, he only is a fuckboy, or mm-hmm. as we tried to figure out what the British term for fuckboy is. Somebody tweeted shag lad, which I liked. But then I also
I also
thought of Snog Dog. No, it's got it right.
I watched that Netflix reality show where they're all like on an island and they get points taken off if they like hook up with each other.
Oh
God,
too hot to handle.
And they would. I learned the British term for like flirting is like they got good chat. Yeah,
chat.
He's got good chat.
Banter.
Good banter. He's got a good chat. I like his chat. I like his banter. And you're like,
yeah.
Yeah, that show, here's what we like about reality shows with sexy 20-somethings. Them fucking each other. And then this show is like, hey, you can't fuck each other. And you're like, oh, okay, so it's a bad show?
But they did a lot.
Yeah. Not enough for my liking, you know? Like, constant orgies. That's my television.
Got it.
I thought, yes, I agree that James has zero personality. Like, his personality is fucking, and that is it, and he just brings nothing else to the table. Like, you probably couldn't even ask him like what the weather was that day. Like, there's nothing.
I'm surprised he hasn't gone I'm surprised he hasn't gone after Elizabeth, though. He's gone after the two others.
Oh, he will.
Yeah, he might have, but no one understood what he was saying, so we didn't even know,
because like Elizabeth seems to be like up his alley, and he's flirted with the chef Rachel and Francesca the stew.
Yeah, I think he really
Elizabeth
likes Francesca.
Elizabeth is the flighty one. The second stew.
Yeah, the second stew who's like,
provisional second
correct,
stew.
Who is definitely going to be bumped down to third and Aisling's going to take second and it's going to be huge drama. Probably an episode nine.
Do you think so?
I think it's going to be huge drama in episode like 8 or 9. That's my guess.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I think that's good. I think that she should. She's not proven herself to be a second
stew. I also
stew.
Think this is also something I hope is that James finally has sex with Captain Lee.
Yeah, I hope so as well. Yeah. Well, anyway, one of the guests after dinner is like, what to James is like, why is a good looking guy like you working on this boat? And then he tells him that he looks like Tom Hardy. And I can see it. Do you guys think he looks like Tom Hardy?
Tom Hardy's like way buffer.
Even cuter.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think head shape. Yes, I can see a Tom Hardy head shape.
Yeah, I see.
He's like Tom Hardy's little
He's
brother.
Got the Tom Hardy like features. Those like the thin eyes. But I think Tom Hardy's a little buffer.
I think he would be like the third clone of Tom Hardy.
Yes.
He's like the little brother who got zero skills. Just the looks.
And, and Shane has a little bit of Heath Ledger look. A little younger younger brother of Heath Ledger. Going. Less talented.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, wow. That's quite a compliment for that piece
Less
of
talented
shit.
For sure.
I don't know. I haven't seen him tread the boards.
Oh,
tread the boards.
Well, that's funny.
That was the way for him to be like, I did study theater at George Mason University in undergrad. I said the words tread.
I know who I'm talking
tread
to.
Tread the boards.
I don't know what any of this is. You guys, that's a great opportunity for us to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after this. And we're back. Still don't know what thread the boards
tread
means.
The boards means to,
well, you almost
to,
said
to
it
perform
right.
on stage, to walk on the...
Yeah, you walk on them
walk
boards.
Walk on the woods. The boards.
Stupid.
Tread the boards.
No, well, no thank you to this. I'll tell you that right now. No thank you.
Yeah, she doesn't have, you know, two parts of her personality. She's only lowbrow. So we can't
That's not true.
I've talked too much
I've been
about
a guest
you.
On Ethnically Ambiguous. That's a little more hot.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
right, Nick. Has your white ass been on Ethnically Ambiguous?
No, I'm 14 emails in.
I know. I'm sorry. One day we'll get you in as a bad. Oh, we'll be like, and this is our series of bad white guys. That we'll just bring you in.
That was a little more highbrow.
It's redundant.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Bad white guys is redundant. That's true. Okay, yeah. Anyway, I thought it was funny when the guy was being like, wow, James, you're so good looking that his girlfriend like bails. She's like, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with you and like leaves. This guy's obsessed with James. I'm out of here. Like, okay, dude. That. What if there's like another charter gets in a fight over James? Like he's just the catalyst of every charter? Well, I don't know. Rachel made a good point. She says that, like, James is one of those people that flirts with everyone as a way of, like, getting out of working. And I was like,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Think about it.
Yes.
It's true.
I wonder if he's got good banter. I don't think he does.
Oh,
no.
We saw him at the restaurant in front of the girl he's been flirting with all week to go to another girl and be like, oh, I like your heels or something. I like your pumps.
Like, what? My levels? My levels?
You what, my what, my and what, and
he's
what?
Like, God, you can't listen to me. I like your pumps.
I was like, is it loud in there or are you whispering at these people?
But no, if you tell an American you like her pumps and it's like she doesn't quite hear you, like she's not going to guess pumps.
you like my bumps, my humps?
Yeah.
Like, well, she was
You
like
my umpires?
She had no idea what he was saying. She's like, what? What? Well, we'll get to that. But all right, it's officially the next day on this charter. Uh-oh, day two, boo-boo.
Mm. Oh, there's effects on this podcast.
Coming to an end.
Yeah, we got a lot of sound effects. No big deal. We like to give Nick the old, you're wrong, bitch.
Yeah, and then I give you the helicopter.
Yeah, okay. Nick isn't allowed to touch the soundboard. Anyway, yeah, Ash feels better, but she still has no underwear, which makes you think, is she wearing the same underwear every day?
She said she was going to wash it.
I thought about that too. She was like, do you want some of my underwear? And I'm like,
hell yeah, dude. Let's do a swap.
Why can't she just wash the underwear?
But then what does she wear when she's washing the underwear?
She got to go commando.
This goes for any of our listeners. If you guys want to do an underwear swap, I'm down. Send it to Anna's house.
Ooh.
And we'll do it there.
Why? You're my nightmare. Eddie's pissed in the morning because James didn't clean the deck to standard the night before. So him and Izzy have to clean it in the morning and it delays breakfast. And then like when Eddie calls him out, he's like, did you look under the table? And James is like, what? No. Like, I don't know who James is, but the fact it's like, yeah, under the table is a part of the deck, bro. And he's just like,
there was also like food on the railing, which I don't know if a producer put there or was there, but I mean, there was definitely like shrimp on the railing.
Yeah. I don't get it. Like there's like Cheetos everywhere as well. Again, I don't know if James knows how to do this job. And it's not, I don't feel like it was made clear like how much experience he had. Like there was so much emphasis put on Shane being green that we didn't really focus on like, why is James here?
But does Bravo hire these people or does the ship company hire these people?
I mean, I guess it's got to be both,
yeah,
right?
No
because
idea.
They're all like good-looking white people who seem to not know what they're doing.
Right.
Except for like the four people who know what they're doing so that the boat could like actually run.
So I think it all has to go, you know, through the boat company, but I have to imagine that the production just gives them the names.
Right, because like, you know, if you look like me, you're not getting on Below Deck Med.
No. No, unfortunately,
yeah,
we can't have you.
For sure. And it's these people aren't just doing this job. Like, Captain Lee is not a captain anymore. Eddie is not a bosun. They have other jobs, and they're just doing this for the TV
show.
Is
that true?
Yeah.
Well, Captain,
yeah.
Captain
Lee is no longer a commercial captain.
But he only comes to work on filmed seasons. Now.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of investments everywhere. We were saying the other day, he's owned stake in 11 different restaurants.
Really?
He's got a lot going on. And Eddie is the captain.
He's on a tugboat or something.
Of a tugboat in Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah. A lot of, I mean, same with the Chief Stews. Like, Kate was only coming through
Hannah,
to film
they didn't
by
do anything,
the end. Yeah. Like, they just showed up. Like, once they, like, made their reality TV money and, like, didn't need to work regularly, they would just come through for filming.
Is a tugboat like, just like AAA for boats?
Yeah, kind of. I think so. Right,
Nick? No, I think that once you get into a harbor, some boats are too big to be able to maneuver it themselves. So you need a tugboat to come in and bring them into port safely.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds like AAA, bro.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to need a boat fact on that later, Nick.
It's just like, it's like a valet.
Yeah, I got you. I figured it was like my engine broke down. I'm in the middle of the Pacific. Come get a tugboat.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how that happens.
I do want to point out, we did have an Eddie being Eddie moment when he came out to talk to the guests and hype them up by being like, we're going to jet ski and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I was like, and that's the Eddie we know and don't necessarily love.
Remember when Eddie fell in the water and the guy helped him out and he was like, get away from me. Don't touch me.
Yeah. Get your hands off me. Yes. I reference that as like Eddie's chill until he looks like a fool. And then he like blows a gasket. Literally. Like he can't handle, like, get off of me. It's like, bitch, you just fell in the water. Like he's helping.
He was
you.
So mad. He was like trying to find a way to blame him for falling in the water. Don't touch me. Don't. It was your fault I fell in.
Yeah, Eddie is a fucking piece of work, in my opinion. I don't love Eddie. I've never loved Eddie. I don't like his weird Jim Carrey impersonations. I think he's a shady little bitch lying about hooking up with Rocky and then trying to like throw her under the bus.
I remember that. I remember that. I'm in a Marco Polo group. You guys Marco Polo? You guys know the app? It's like a video messaging app. And I'm in a group called Bitches of Bravo. And we just talk about Bravo shows basically Monday through Sunday. And they're going to listen to the pod. So shout out to the Bitches of Bravo group on my Marco
Polo.
Hell
yeah.
Oh, yeah. The BOBs.
They're new Deckheads listeners as of today.
Hell yeah. Keep listening. We could really use the listens, please. We're like Eddie. Let's get on a jet ski. I hate it.
That was very good. That was actually very good, Eddie.
Yeah, I think I've never seen someone crumble so fast when they learned people were listening.
Wait, which one's Rocky?
That's Eddie.
Rocky? What was her name? Was it Rocky?
Yeah, I was like,
Raquel. Yeah, it was Rocky. Everybody called her Rocky. She hooked up with Eddie and then he had a girlfriend. So he lied about it when it came out and it was like really bad.
Yeah, he was like, no. And it's like, we have footage.
She was a pro diver or like a, you know, a competition diver.
Yeah, she'd done like maybe junior Olympic diving. I don't remember exactly.
And then they just so happened to have a diving competition that season among
the
crew.
What a coincidence.
And she won.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Never had one before.
Question, where does the producers and like cameramen and stuff live?
They live underground. These are evil trolls.
I think they stay on land and they just take like a work boat every day.
So what about all the, but like over. There's always someone there like in the middle of the night when someone wakes up and goes from room to room or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think there's a night crew.
Yeah. I don't know. That's
they're getting them at all times. They don't miss anything. I think that there's definitely a couple cameras all night.
Yeah, like motion detecting cameras that catch.
But I think they sleep during the day.
I see.
Those cameramen.
Oh, yeah. All right. So Rachel comes up with this really weird, but she thinks she really nailed it. She's like, young people will love this. I'll make barbecue and you can hang out in the hot tub while you eat. And she's like,
wait,
yeah.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Hmm? Do you think that the crew of the television show sleeps in the crew of the boat's beds while they're working?
No, because they go into their rooms sometimes and we can see their rooms.
That would be fun. I wish that would happen.
I would not be cool with
Nick,
that.
Please tell me your...
I don't like anybody in my bed. Like literally like best friends will be over and they'll be like, yo, you know, can I crash at your place while you're gone? And I'm like, no. I don't like people in my bed. It's like you can crash at my place as long as I know that you're sleeping in the guest room.
Have you seen this thing about people sharing beds like that work different hours?
I don't like it.
And then they'll be like have an apartment and they just
I don't like it.
No.
No,
it's very San Francisco, very New York, very Hong Kong.
What? It's like, what if you don't work one day? What if it's the weekend?
Yeah, what if I'm sick and I don't like it?
What are you doing?
I don't like it.
Can you guys tell me your thoughts on Rachel's barbecue and the hot tub dinner idea?
Here's the thing, Anna. It was ridiculous that she was like, that's what college people like. But at the same time, I'm not opposed to barbecue and a hot tub. I like both those things.
Here's the thing. It was a great idea, and I don't know why it didn't happen. When she said it, I did want to be like, well, she's not cool. She doesn't. Well,
I thought the same thing. I was like, that she's so lame. But then I was like, I want to do that. I want to like sit in a hot tub and also have barbecue 5 feet away. That sounds great.
Yeah.
I don't agree. I think it's too much. You're going to drop
well,
barbecue.
Well, you can't have it in the hot tub.
But that's what she was saying.
Because then you would be using your water hand, your hot tub water hand.
It's like when you pass a joint around and you're in the hot tub. And like, everyone's
ruined.
Like, no, I'm going to dry my hand. Keep your hand up. And it's like, yeah, but like some bubbles get on it. And then you're just inhaling.
Keep your hand up.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
No. Well, I do love that Captain Lee was enjoying watching the guests eat shit on that electric surfboard. And he's like, hey, that's good.
Which is a change of tune. Cause I feel like many seasons, Captain Lee is like, keep them safe. Have them stop going so fast on the, you know, the things.
Yeah, he doesn't work there anymore. Hey, I don't want to lose this job, JK.
But he's like kind of, you can kind of tell he might have taken some painkillers this season because he hurt his ribs at the beginning. So he's probably just in there like, hey, yep, good times. Well, actually.
If he ever loses his job, all he has to do is sell one gold bracelet a year and he'll be fine.
That's true.
I love his insults. He's like, She irons like an old woman eating butter. It's like, what?
He's like, stick a club up my ass and call me Tuesday. I am not happy. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He goes, the chef cooks like a
so
bag of dimes.
Dragging his...
And you're like, okay.
And then it comes back to, I'm not dragging my dick through a road of broken whiskey bottles. And it's like, dude, that is so fucking graphic.
Yeah. On maybe five occasions, he has threatened to eat people's asses. And it's not. You got to have one word different.
This isn't a vacation. You're here to work. You're not here to lollygag like a drummer eating cinnamon out of a cereal box.
It's almost also like things going up his ass. He's like, you can't hammer a pin up my ass. It's like, what is up with you?
I'd like to,
what is going on with your genitals being destroyed at all costs?
I'd like
costs?
To check in with the listeners right now. How are you feeling?
Hi. We're listening to My Favorite Murder because we stopped listening
to
the
other thing. Yeah, we turned this off. You know what? We're having a great moment because we're about to have a beach picnic that's going to go poorly. Like every single fucking beach picnic that's ever on this show goes poorly. I don't even know
why we're
pretending.
Do you think they've ever said this, like, we want to have a beach picnic? And they're like, of course we'll do a beach picnic. You know us. We'll do whatever dumb idea you have. Here's the thing. They've never been good. We've done them 100 times.
Yeah.
There's been like maybe four.
Yeah. I mean, why not be like, look, trust us. It's not what you think it's going to be.
It's not what you think.
You're not going to get luxury food. You're going to get sandwiches. You're going to get finger food sandwiches because it's got to be cold. It's going to get, you're going to fall when you get out of the thing. It's going to be rocky. The tent's going to fall.
Yeah.
We're going to forget a margarita pitcher. We're going to forget a gut bottle of wine.
It's going to be illegal to have a tent here.
Yeah, you're going to eat off paper plates.
You say, I'm sorry, that's not a great idea, but what is a great idea? I know a beachfront restaurant. They'll set you up right there on the beach. They've got everything you could possibly need. It's all taken care of.
You're right. I mean, even when they like, remember when they have to like bring the chairs and the tablecloths and the food up like 100 steps to the top
of
like
a castle?
And you're like, I wish they could just be like, hey guys, like we would have to do this. Do you still think it's worth it?
And on top of that, I think last season they had lunch at a church in Mallorca and they just like set them up on a walkway next to the church. Like it wasn't scenic. It was just weird. You're like up against a weird stone wall. People are just walking by you like, excuse us, this is kind of a walkway. It's just like, this can't, it's for Roy Orbison Jr. Like all of it was just
also you're being
weird.
Filmed and it's like, what? Why do you want to be on display? Are you on vacation?
Yeah.
But I think they get it for free if they're filmed, right?
Well, there's
discounts.
There's definitely discounts. They say like generally it's like 50% off.
See, I was curious why someone like Jemeil Hill did it because I'm like, you have nothing to gain and everything to lose.
Yes, we asked that question many times that episode. It was weird to see someone like currently famous.
And like respected. And respected in the industry.
Like a good person.
Yes. It doesn't make any sense.
It's like you have nothing to gain. No one's going to be like, I love Jemeil Hill even more. Did you see her on Below Deck? She was so nice on her $1 million vacation.
But like, you know, you watch the show. Maybe she's just like loves the show. And she didn't come off bad.
No, she's just drunk the whole time.
Yeah, she's having a good time.
Yeah. There was that awkward thing though with the head stew. And she was like, I feel like you don't like us. I feel like you don't remember that? She was like, I feel like you aren't being kind to us. I think it was Hannah. It might have been Hannah. Or was it Kate? It was Kate. Yeah, she's like, I feel like you don't like us.
No, it was Kate. It was Kate. But Kate looks unhappy. She truly has the resting bitch face. Like, even if she's just working, she looks unhappy. She just doesn't smile, which is fine. You don't have to smile. You just look unhappy. So I think, like, anyone who's not... I feel like Jemeil wasn't, like, fully aware of who Kate was, maybe.
Yeah.
Because if you know Kate and you've watched this show, you know that's just...
I just don't know why you do the show.
But if you're just like interacting with a person like that and you don't know what their deal is and they're just always like, they have so much lip filler that their face is always like you don't know. You're like, this woman feels like she hates me.
Ugh. Yeah.
Well, a little on Elizabeth. She feels like she was given the second stew position with conditions and that she's walking on eggshells. And I think she's right. And she should be walking on eggshells. I can't say that because she was promoted too soon. And I don't believe she deserved the promotion based on what I've observed of her. And Francesca even later on says that she doesn't understand what happened with Elizabeth because in the first, I mean, yes, Elizabeth compared to like molasses Izzy great stew. But then you bring in Ash, who seems just as competent, if not more, than Elizabeth. And it's like, I don't know what to tell you, man. You shouldn't have promoted
her. So Francesca's the one who's like, I believe in astrology and rocks and crystals and...
No, that's Elizabeth.
Right. That's what I meant. Yeah. She believes in all these things. And I think she manifested seconds too.
I mean, I'm sure she did.
Wow.
She's also the same person that says she falls in love on like every charter too quickly, which is what makes me
think. This is why I'm shocked that Elizabeth and James have not immediately like hooked up first night. They just.
I think it's coming.
But he's already gone after Rachel and Francesca. So.
Yeah,
he doesn't care.
Is that it's James?
Yeah, true.
He doesn't care. That fool would. He literally makes a joke that he would fuck Shane,
break out his
hip. It would probably like.
But and his roommate is Izzy, right? Jam.
Yeah, and she's like, "I need a stiff drink," and he's like, "Did you say something stiff?" And she's like, "Go fuck yourself."
The sexual harassment on these charters is off the chain.
Never ending. Always to a point where Captain Lee's like, I think they handled it appropriately in the reunion. You're like, no, they didn't. They didn't handle it appropriately
as four women
at all.
Are crying.
But okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was all handled appropriately. Oh, God damn it, Captain Lee. It's never handled appropriately. Never. Oh, well. And then we learned something interesting about Izzy. Was that she was paralyzed once.
Oh, yeah, for like 2 years, right?
Yeah, just because of a disease.
Well, she said she had Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is like an autoimmune disorder that apparently like your whole body seizes up and you lose sensation in your skin. And it's like your immune system attacks your nervous system and it like paralyzes you. And she was like in the hospital for that. And then she had to learn to walk again. I have so much respect for her. And it potentially explains why she moves so slow. Because she says herself that she has fatigue from it still and she'll suffer for it for the rest of her life. So now I actually feel bad. I called her molasses earlier and in the last few episodes. But like, damn, dude.
But what's the more tiring job? Being a deckhead and like making that slide go up and down the fucking thing every day or being a stew and like serving people all night?
Well, I think you have more of an excuse to move slow if you're like carrying heavier things.
Oh, I think, you know, both of the jobs are insanely hard. You know, I think they're both kind of equally hard. It's so much work the whole time.
Small tangent to bring off of that though. On every season, the slide is like the nightmare for them to do, to like lift up. How come on these like $500 million things, they haven't figured out like an easy way to like do like inflate and deflate? Like, why hasn't the boat companies figured out an easy way to do that? They hate doing the slide. It seems so heavy.
Well, I feel like you've just walked into my pitch. Thank you. Take a seat. Guys, today I have for you an idea that I think will make all of us millions of dollars. Not every yacht should have these big blow up water toys and have to pull out all these water toys. Sometimes it takes hours to get them set up, of course. So if you invest in my company, what I will do is I will have a boat with all of the toys already set up on it, and I will come to you and your guests for the day can use all of the toys on my boat. And then the second they're done, I drive away. You don't have to do any work. You can fire two of your stews.
No, the deckhands. The
deckhands,
still have
whatever.
To work.
Anyway, I think it's a good idea. Will you invest? I need an answer right now.
My question is, what are your sales like up to this point?
I need an answer right now. This is pre-sales.
So you've come here asking
asking
for an $11 million valuation, and you've shown sales of zero.
Startup costs. Well, the $11 million valuation is because the boat I need is $11 million.
If I give you the money, what are you going to do with it?
I'm going to buy that damn boat.
And then
I'll get some toys. Come, give me the deals off the table.
Okay, wow.
I'm walking out.
Okay, bye.
That was the worst pitch I've ever heard in Shark Tank history. No, actually, it's...
Oops, sorry, guys. Hey, I left my phone in here. I was recording.
That's not terrible. I do think...
I do think though that like they always get so mad about the slide. They're like, not the slide. And I'm like, why is it so heavy? Just put like a, there should be an invention where you like put like a vacuum looking thing in it and it either blows it up or de-blows it up, whatever the word of that is.
Right. It should be automated, like in like a side of the boat where like you open a little door and then it comes out and blows up. It shouldn't be as like, like we have to literally take a, I don't know, 500-pound thing and put it up and take it down every 5 minutes.
What about this? What about like a hardware slide, you know? And it just like pops out the boat, but it's not, it doesn't need to be like this big inflatable thing.
You know the way that like on an airplane, the door opens with the stairs? Yeah. Yes. So it could be like a thing opens like with the slide.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's exactly right.
That's it. You put my business out of business.
We need an emergency exit slide.
That's it. Then you put you put your soap on that or whatever. You're done.
I hate that they always have to like grease it up. It's just so weird. Well, anyway, Captain Lee asks Eddie to snitch on the interior team because the beach picnic was such a shit show. And Eddie's like, yeah, I think it's a lack of communication. And I'm like, you little bitch, Eddie. Stop snitching, Eddie.
So how'd you feel about Malia?
Dude, fuck Malia. Fuck Malia, I'll say it. Fuck Malia, dude. She's a fucking narc.
Yeah, fuck Malia for sure. But I might have done it, you know, if it was someone I hated stuff.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I would respect it if she was like, yeah, fuck you, Hannah. But she's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, you dumb.
That's not a bad point. I actually agree with you. If she was like, yeah, Hannah shouldn't have pissed me off. Like, I would have been like, all right, bet.
I'd be like, that's what's up. And you don't fuck with Malia. Yeah. But instead, she's like, the thing you need to understand about maritime law 14 times in a row is like, we heard you. We heard you on your Instagram stories. We heard you on the show, in your confessionals. We heard you on the reunion 15 times. We get it, Malia. Maritime law, Malia. But go fuck yourself at this point.
Yeah, I did that shit. Now let me know if you need a recommendation for your next job.
Andy did call Hannah out savagely though when he was like, so we checked in with the company and they don't make that for CBD. They make that for THC only.
Well, we actually, Nick did that research before they even came up with it. Cause I was on the side like, yeah, probably CBD. It probably is CBD. But Nick did the research and went and bought the pen she has.
No, I had it at that exact moment. It's Select. It's a big brand. And yes, I knew. I knew. I knew.
He's like, that's weed.
I love that. And Hannah was like,
She's like, you can put whatever you want in it.
Oh, so you opened it up and poured different oil in it, Hannah?
Are you running a tech? Like, do you know how hard that is? That's like meth lab hard. Shit.
I've done it.
You need a lab.
You ever had wax? Anybody ever just give you wax and you're like, I don't have a wax pen because it's not, you know, 2017. And then you can just jimmy one of these open, put some wax in it. You can smoke it in there. The wax, not even just some more oil.
Yeah.
But take that out. Anyway.
What? No, that stays. All right. Well, the guests decide against having a barbecue in the hot tub. And they decide they want to sit down dinner. But like no one tells Rachel for some reason. Or they try radioing her and she doesn't hear it. And she's like already upstairs barbecuing surf and turf. And she's
how does that happen?
I don't know. She's pissed. She's like, no one ever told me. Yeah, there's no communication. Bah! And then it's
that
like,
is
whatever.
100% Francesca's job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not Isabel. What's her name?
Every single time. I mean, think about it. Like, you know, Hannah, the first thing she would do if they switched where they were going to eat would be to tell the chef.
Right. And Elizabeth, who's been trying to talk to Rachel, was told to not talk directly to Rachel, to talk to Francesca. And that's what she did. And then Francesca never told Rachel. So it's like, cool, Francesca, you actually shot yourself in the foot by telling Elizabeth not to talk to Rachel. Fucking dumb. All right. Well, they have dinner. It all works out. Drama for nothing. Next day. Always drama for nothing.
I did want the lobster Benedict of this day.
Oh, I really fuck yeah, it. I did. I think Rachel's we'll get into it, but she makes duck confit with waffles for breakfast. I was like, that's interesting, but I'd fuck with that.
Yeah, I'd fuck
apparently
with that.
She's an incredible chef, and like all the other on one of the after shows, somebody said that her food is incredible,
dude. Mm. I have got to get up on some Rachel.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm still a Mila man.
Oh, shut up. You love like weird Putin-obsessed homophobes?
Oh, for sure. Well, you know, it's like I like to, I could change her, you know. I like a project.
Yeah, okay. Let's not continue with this. I do want to say, did you guys see the point where Shane is helping Eddie with the pipe for the anchor? And he's like pulling it up and he's like,
and it looks like he's
jerking off a giant pipe.
And the guy goes, you got to eat your Wheaties, man. He goes, fuck off.
Hey, fuck you, Eddie. I'm sick of your shit. You're like, okay, all right. Light ribbing, I thought. Gonna back up. We're not having fun. We hang out 24 hours a day. Can't make a joke. Gotcha. Pretty
cool. Like, I don't.
Did you really say tread the boards? What I do is serious. And I would appreciate if you wouldn't joke about treading the boards, okay?
You piece
I take
of
my
shit.
Art seriously. Can you believe he talked about treading the boards and he said it tongue in cheek? Talking about my whole existence.
Hey, if you can't handle any ribbing or sarcasm on this show, find another show, okay? Okay. Eddie.
Oh, boy.
Eddie sucks and he's just like passive aggressive. He's so passive aggressive. And he's like, it's jokes. It's like, no, it's passive aggression. Fuck Eddie. Anyway, the guests are leaving. Thank God. Their only complaint is like, it took us a long time to get to the beach picnic. And I'm like, bitch, some producer told you to say that. There's no way with the amount you're drinking, you were aware it took so long to get you to the beach. Just saying. Not impressed. All right, it's tip meeting time. We get a classic, classic Captain Lee line, which just reminds me how full of shit he is. He goes, if everyone doesn't step up, there will be changes. And I'm like, honey, you say that every season? No one ever.
And every tip meeting.
Yeah.
And every tip meeting.
If you guys aren't going to step up, we will have some changes. It's like, what changes? You only fire someone at truly the last, like you are forced to fire them. Remember Chandler from season 6 or something? Chandler should have been fired day 2. Chandler was trash. He could not do anything to save his life. He was a terrible bosun. And he just waited so long to fire him. I was like, honey, changes should have been made. They should have been
changed. Hard to fire the bosun. It doesn't happen very much.
No, because they had Ross. Ross, who had clearly, who stepped up to be the bosun, was just overall a fucking killer deckhand. I would have been like, just make that guy the bosun.
I think they should have fired Ross too and hired Joey.
Oh, Jesus. This is a Ross and Chandler joke. You're making friends jokes? Okay. You know what, Nick? Exit the room.
I'm sorry. I get it. It's hard to get out of this closet. It actually doesn't have a door.
So, Ross on Below Deck, when you Google him, has mugshots? What'd he do?
Oh, everyone on Below Deck has been arrested while drunk. It's like any reality show.
Yeah, West Palm Beach. And he says it was a big misunderstanding. He's
disorderly
just wasted. And like, he's from New Zealand, dude. Those people drink to like levels unknown.
Yeah, he's like, all I'm... So, okay, this is what I got to say.
Yes.
Ross dealt with Riley as patient as you could possibly be. He was incredible. Like, he was like, well, I'm going to let you have that. All right. I understand you're upset. I'm going to talk to you later. Like, he was so good with her in a way that the other dude wasn't. And still, at one point, Ross was like, shut up. Shut up, Riley. Just shut the fuck up. Yeah. I watched him for 5 episodes just be like, okay, you're entitled to your opinion.
Until he just snapped.
Yeah, because she was like, oh, Ross, you're such a baby.
Yeah, she could,
he was a superhero that it took him so long.
Yeah.
I would have flipped out on her in 4 seconds.
I'm not good with her. I'm not good with
her. I'm the boss!
She's like, you're not allowed to tell me to do things just because you're in charge on the boat. And I'm like,
Well, her whole thing was like, you guys always make me do the bitch work. You don't let me do the good stuff. And he's like, well, I trust you. And she's like, oh, fuck you. <I'm> like, what? everything was like an it, no matter, like you couldn't, like again, I also give Riley the benefit of the doubt. It sucks. Sounds like her parents, the way she describes her childhood of like, my mom divorced my dad and we moved to Florida and my mom opened an Airbnb, or not an Airbnb, a B&B, and we weren't allowed to leave our rooms while guests were there.
That's like, a little Nexium. It sounds a little Nexium.
I'm sorry, what? So you are used to being ignored to a point where you have manifested and losing your shit over every minimal potential slight against you.
This might sound like an incel comment, and I really don't mean it to be, but my problem with Riley was that she would be like, she would do a horrible job on something. She would massively fuck up. Then she would get in trouble, and then she'd go to her confessional and be like, they're treating me badly because I'm a woman. And I'm like, they are treating you badly because you're a woman. You also completely fucked up, and that has nothing to do with you being a woman.
It's hard to say because Ross would be like, I fucking hate Riley. And then he'd be like, I am trying to fuck her when I'm drunk, though. And you're like,
he did say that.
Fuck, dude. Are you kidding me? He did say that.
You're right. You're right.
You can't have it both ways. You either don't fuck with Riley, or you know what? Give her the benefit of the doubt. But it was
He did. He was like a fucking hater guts.
And yeah, then he's like wasted. Like, she does have a nice ass, though. No,
she's like, fit. Yeah. Riley is fit.
Fucking hell.
She is fit, dude.
Anyway. Oh, it's tip time. It. And we learn that they get a 12K tip, which fucking sucks. 12K. Wow. Yeah.
And then Lee's like, I guess we dodged a bullet.
That's like the worst tip that I've ever seen.
It's pretty bad. 12K is what you get for a one-night charter. Two nights? Mm-mm. Shouldn't have taken so long on that beach picnic.
So you know if you're going to be on this show that you're going to tip it and they're going to publicize it to the whole world after what you tipped. I'm surprised that doesn't make people tip more.
The names Dax and Max are mud now.
They'll never be taken seriously in West Village Valley, LA.
Hey guys, no tipping Max is here. Give him a poor service.
But he's like a rich white guy. Like, what did they expect?
Do you think Dax and Max were both like, all right, we're gonna put in $12,000 each, and then Max at the last minute was like, fuck that.
How funny is it that I'm gonna make a lot of judgments here, but like, the three of us have probably never even spent $12,000 on tips in our lives. And like combined in our lives. And we're sitting here like 12K on tips. What a loser.
What a bunch of pieces of shit. Oh my God. Well, anyway, everyone's really bummed. And Captain Lee is like, are there any complaints? Speak up now. And Rachel wants to complain so bad about the lack of communication with Francesca. But you just see her like acting hella weird, like looking around like, no, not me.
It was not the place to make complaints. They were all, their noses were touching.
Well, anyway, she says she doesn't want to burn any bridges yet because Francesca is her eyes and ears. And I do want to make a point. Anytime, and this is previous seasons, anytime someone has made a complaint in front of everyone about Kate at the time, Chief Stew Kate, you were like public enemy number one to her. Like, she would just spend the rest of the season trying to destroy you. And I was just like, that's wild.
Also, whenever a leader gives you a lecture and then says, does anybody have any complaints or comments or questions? Yeah. They don't want them.
Yeah.
They don't. No. That's not the time to give it to them. And they're just saying that so they can say, I asked. Forever hold your peace.
Yeah.
Also, you just got the worst tip. Like, and the captain, you know, steals part of your tip. So he's upset that there's less tips to steal. And so it's just not the he's like, I've never been more disappointed in you. Is anyone unhappy?
Okay.
No, thanks for the job.
This is a classic. Nick accuses Captain Lee of stealing tips, which means everyone has to drink. Chugga chugga, bitches. Nick has accused Captain Lee of stealing tips. This is an ongoing discussion we have on this show.
Is there evidence of it?
Yes, there's. No! This show is nothing but evidence.
There is no evidence. convinced that Captain Lee steals tips other than Nick has decided this.
Captain Lee gets the tips.
Hold on. You each get 20 seconds to state your case.
Go ahead.
Okay. Captain Lee gets the tips. And then we don't see Captain Lee. He goes into the room. He counts it alone. Even the cameras aren't allowed in there. He comes out and he says, this is how much they make. And then he just hands people wads of cash, which, I don't know, may even be counterfeit. Not forfeit. All right.
You think he's giving out counterfeit money now?
I don't know. Okay. Look, I don't know. I'm just asking the questions. Why can't I ask the questions?
You're suggesting that Dax and Max perhaps tipped $20,000 and Captain Lee pocketed $8,000 before he came out for the $12,000 tip.
Yes, I am saying and that, yet that it would happens never, all the time.
It would never...
No, but this is another element of it. Anytime Captain Lee takes part of the tip, that is stealing.
Sure.
He should not be splitting the tips. He gets a great salary. He doesn't even work there.
Okay, yes, he does.
He should not be getting $1,000.
I think
there's like a kid, a 22-year-old kid who like needs the money because like he wants to move out of his parents' house. And then Captain Lee's like, actually, I need 0.001% more money today.
Can I make a point that if he was taking some money off the top, wouldn't the guests come out and be like, I actually tipped this much. I don't know why they said I tipped that much.
They would.
Yeah, they would, Nick.
Point for Anna.
Oh, would they? Unless Captain Lee cuts them in on it.
Okay.
He says this. He says, tip extra because half of it's coming back to you.
That's okay. You're right.
So Dax and Max tip $20,000. They get $4,000 back.
Yeah.
And then Captain Lee takes $4,000 and it says they tip $12,000.
And then he also takes another K out of the $12,000 that he tells everybody about.
Yeah. All right. I don't buy it. I'm with Anna on this one. But because that would mean Dax and Max spent $16,000. Why would they want $4,000 back? Doesn't make any sense.
Look, there is a lot.
Doesn't make any sense.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard to argue that part.
Math isn't on your side.
That does not work at all.
So they pay
$16,000? He's still stealing. He shouldn't be taking the money. We all know that. He should be open about where the money goes. It should not go into a different room with him. He does not need to be the one divvying it up.
I just think...
He should put it down on the table and then make
okay
the biggest
Captain
nerd
Sandy
of the cast do it.
Same thing.
No, he doesn't think Captain Sandy steals tips.
No, Captain Sandy's on the level.
Why Captain Sandy? Okay, you know what? Whatever.
No, she's not. No, I don't want to get into this. Captain Sandy's not flaunting all the stolen tip money on her wrist like Captain Lee is.
Well, well, anyway, I don't agree because I also do think Captain Lee, regardless of how much of a piece of shit he can be, he's actually a pretty stand-up guy. I can't imagine his lovely bride, Marianne, would allow him to do such a thing.
I got to look her up. I got to look her up.
You got to look up Marianne. We're going to actually take a quick break and be right back. And we are back. Okay, let's finish this episode out. So basically, Ash finally gets her suitcase. She has underwear. Her self-tanner exploded, which I'm like, yep, Australian. Did you guys catch Shane freestyling?
I did not. You said that earlier, and I don't even know what
he was freestyling at one point, and the one
Eddie
moment...
Eddie got very mad at him.
And yes, that's the one moment I respected Eddie, because Eddie was like, stop that. I was like, tell him, Eddie. This white boy should not be freestyling. Okay, whatever. Everyone goes out. The female Eddie, Rachel, says that she's like, I haven't had time to bathe, but don't worry, I Febreze myself. Ah! And I'm like, look, honey, there's already an Eddie. We don't need you doing this.
I was going to say, your Eddie is very similar to this impression.
Because
but,
Rachel
you know,
is a female
purposeful.
Eddie. She is just Eddie. She does the same thing. She's like, look at my camel toe. And like, I've got melons. When she's like holding like literally just like melons.
Like, and you're like, okay. What a fool. But then they turn around and are like super competent.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Unlike Shane, who's like, I'm dressed like Spicoli. And everyone's like, oh,
yeah.
God.
The only thing that separates them is that Rachel has not gaslit a woman to a near mental breakdown like Eddie has.
Yeah.
Is Eddie attractive? That for him, is he attractive?
Yes.
But women
girls
do find
flip
him
over
attractive.
Eddie.
It bums me out.
Every season, there's a girl that like throws themselves at him.
Which is wild because he's just like, the thing is, I think it's just a man in charge.
No, he's a good looking guy. He's got a good face. Good. He's fit. He's fun. He's funny, you know?
Okay, that's enough. That's enough of that. Okay, so they're at clean dinner. Teeth. Shane says the riddle, which is
like... He really
like,
listens when you talk.
God, yeah, unlike yourself. Well, whatever. Here's
bounce
the riddle.
Bounce a quarter off that ass.
He does kind of have like a little tutor.
Yeah, I would drag his ass through 1,000 miles of broken whiskey bottles.
I mean, I would fuck him, but I'd probably break his left hip out.
There we go.
Yeah. That's like the aggressiveness in which James would fuck Shane. Wild,
yeah,
and
it came right off his tongue. He's like, would you fuck Sunshine?
Yeah, but I'd probably break his hip.
Yeah, it's like oh shit,
you're a murderer.
You've thought of this before.
Yeah, he literally sees a hole and goes, too dangerous for me to try. I could kill the person. Not worth the risk of going to jail for the rest of my life. Yeah, okay, so at dinner, that's when Shane is like, a man walks into a bar and the bartender's like, nice hat.
What is that mean?
That's fucking nonsense. Shane is, I don't care if he went to UC Berkeley, he's a fucking fool. Okay. I can't.
It's definitely a joke that he forgot one sentence of and didn't realize it.
Yeah. He definitely, you're right. Like he said the punchline, but that wasn't the punchline.
No. Yeah.
Or he never actually heard the punchline of the joke because he left the room when someone else told it once, but he thinks that's the whole joke. So now he tells that as the whole joke.
He came back from the bathroom and everyone was laughing. Yeah. Like, well, yeah, it sounds like a joke.
I don't get it, but everybody else.
Bartender
does.
Says, nice hat. Got it. Locked.
Yeah, and everyone at the table is like, fuck you. Fuck you, Shane. I love everyone's reactions.
You
to
said
people.
Last year, pre-pandemic, I taught a class at UC Berkeley for the theater students. Uh-huh. And they didn't know who Celine Dion was. So maybe UC Berkeley's not doing a good job educating the generation.
Wow.
I mean, Celine Dion, I feel like you should know who that is.
Yeah, have you seen Titanic? Like,
yeah, but they were born in 2002.
Disgusting. Don't ever say that to me again. I don't acknowledge
those
ages.
Born in 2002. Like, they were born after 9/11. And I was like, guys, I was getting bullied before you were born.
I don't like that at all.
Hey, I Googled it. I found someone else. Rocky O'Brien asked this in 2011 on Yahoo Answers. A guy walks in a bar and the bartender says, nice hat, Al. When he says it, he tips his hat. What's the meaning? Nobody would tell me. There's no answer. I'm just like, well, one person answers, says probably nothing. Or sometimes when you get caught wearing a hat in a bar, normally they would have to buy a round for everyone in the bar.
Is it like a Norm MacDonald anti-joke? The joke is that there's no punchline. You know, because I feel like Norm MacDonald could make that joke funny.
I don't know.
I guess if it went on for like 45 minutes.
Gilbert Gottfried could make that joke funny.
That's true. Actually, surprising, they go.
Nice hat.
That is true. Yeah, I guess anyone who had like any sort of anything that's not Shane could make that funny. Like, you made it funny. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, nice hat. But, like, Shane? I don't know what he was doing. All right.
Oh, yeah. I can make it funny. Hold on. A guy walks into a bar. He tips his hat at the bartender. And he says, hey, man, nice hat. Anything's funny in an Indian accent.
You're so lucky.
Hey, man, nice hat.
Before we get canceled, Beth Dodd does have roots.
I want everyone to know that I was
Indian.
Yeah.
My parents born in India. My grandfather is in India. My family's in India. I'm Indian. Yeah. I'm allowed to do that joke.
Yeah, unlike Nick, who has Nick, do you know Nick is half Jamaican?
What part of Jamaica? Right by the beach. Boy.
Boy. Oh, yes.
God.
That's how I learned how to do the accent.
Now we're getting canceled.
Yeah. Okay. So,
Badman Dings.
Oh, Jesus. So we go out. They go out to
my
a
mom
bar.
Is a Jamaican immigrant. That is all.
Yes, that's facts. Wow. It's interesting.
How do you feel about Chet Hanks?
I'm loving it. I am loving it because he came out and did his patois in like an anti-Trump thing, and it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, big up to your boy Biden.
This is terrible.
It's
guys,
so
we have to
fun. He's keeping the language alive in a way no one else is.
No. Okay. They go out to a bar after dinner. And Shane is talking to Eddie about work. And so James is not happy and he's trying to like chat everyone up. And this is the point where no one understands anything he's saying. And it was actually making me laugh. Like everyone was like, what? What? Sorry, what? And James is getting so upset. I've never seen someone who's just like, no one wants to vibe and party with me. So I'm going to be depressed. Like I'm so depressed because like no one's trying to vibe and party with me. I'm pretty depressed. No one wants to vibe or party with me.
For sure, yeah.
No one.
Is there more?
No, no one wants to vibe or party with me.
But that's all he ever thinks?
No, like I'm just pretty depressed because like no one wants to party.
He sounds like a real shag lad.
He's a shag lad.
He reminds me of Ashton a lot. He's very Ashton.
Well, Ashton was the one who was like, it sucks that none of these girls just want to suck our dicks. And it's like, that's a great start to.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
What?
But it's a secret, you know. You don't say out loud.
Okay,
that's disappointing that all the girls don't want to suck my dick. That's true. That's true for everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Well, true. Not for me, but for you.
I'm pretty sure you do not have a dick.
You don't say it out loud on a TV show where you're being filmed in every room.
It's a very Republican thing to do to say the quiet part out loud.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like,
Lindsey Graham goes. The thing is, if we allow more people to vote, we'll never win.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, keep that to yourself. Oh, man. You don't say that part.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these guys, the foreign, like South Africans or whatever, or like the Brits, like they don't know. They don't know, like we can hear them.
What's this podcast's opinion of João Franco?
JWoww? We call him JWoww on here.
Oh, JWoww. Oh, JWoww.
JWoww.
He's had a very tough life.
Because he's got like a negative season and then like a turnaround season, right?
I would argue it wasn't a turnaround season. I'd argue he looked more of a fucking fool than ever.
Yeah.
He's got like the villain season and then the season where he's like, I'm just a nice guy now. I made a lot of mistakes in my previous thing.
He had the Captain Sandy stamp of approval.
Yeah, which was irritating.
And you know, you got to feel bad for the guy.
It was clearly like he got a lot of shit on Twitter and then he was like, I don't want to get shit on Twitter. I got to reclaim my reputation.
Right.
Everyone he grew up with was murdered with an elephant bone.
Every story he told was the darkest shit I've ever heard in my life.
He's like having a good time. They're out partying. They're like, I'm having the greatest time of my life. You want to know one thing about me? It was a night. It was a night I'll never remember. 3 masked men came into the apartment and beat my mother to death with an elephant bone. Anyway, the shots are here.
Very similar to the Belgian model, though. He'd be like, me and my mom did drugs in an empty apartment until she overdosed.
Wait,
and you're
do
like,
you mean me?
What the
Rob?
Fuck?
It's me.
Very good, Anna.
Rob.
That's an incredible Rob.
Yes, because I did it all of season 5 when we covered. But wait, Rob's here.
And he looked like Rob Stark a little bit too, actually.
Yes, that's true. I did. Besod, I have a joke for you.
Rob, do you have a joke?
Yes, I always have a joke.
Oh, incredible. Rob's got incredible jokes. Let's hear one.
Okay. Who did the zombie take to the dance?
Who did the zombie take to the dance?
Who did the zombie take to the dance? I don't know.
His ghoul friend.
Whoa.
Thank you.
Very
Thank you
funny.
For allowing me to make
Thank
an
you, but
appearance.
We don't have a lot of time left in the episode. You're too late, Rob. Get out of here.
Oh, okay. I'll go to Bali. Bye.
Oh no, don't go to Bali. Oh, he shouldn't have gone to Bali.
He should have done the crossing. Yeah, no, I'm sure he's like in a cabinet somewhere that Jess has locked him in. For someone who
It's a coffin.
Who did not look good on that show was Jess. Anyway.
No, very jealous woman.
Oh, God. She was the Aisha's hand on his butt without her even realizing it. And she's like, I will fuck you up.
Could you imagine? She was mad about it in the reunion. Like, you had to have seen it on television. That's
and then she happened. She goes, then what are the DMs about? And then she goes, how do you know the DMs? And she goes, I looked at them, obviously. I was like,
Ugh.
Yeah, and Aisha's like, what, DM? Huh, looks like it says unsent a message. Suspish. Well, all right, let's finish this out. I did think it was funny on the boat that James continuing to complain about everyone being no fun. And he's like, my dad forced me to go to university and I didn't enjoy it because I don't like not being myself and having to be fake and quiet and not fucking everything that moves. So I quit university after 2 weeks. And I'm like, dude, that's the place you go to like fuck everything that moves.
Right.
Fucked up, dog. But whatever, it's the next day and James is talking to his mom on the phone in the morning and he's like, I need her support because I'm very delicate. Which I was like, you are a dumb bitch sometimes. And then he said, last night really upset me that no one could understand anything I was saying or giving into my banter. And then he says some stuff that I legit like didn't understand what he was saying. They didn't put captions. He says something about his mom liking yachting and liking to travel the world and some other stuff. And so she like likes his profession and yachting. I don't know. I was like, fool, no one knows what you're saying. So move it along. And then in the least surprising news ever, we learned that Rachel was in ROTC for 8 years. And I'm like, and that is classic horse girl shit. She's a horse girl.
What's that mean?
You know, horse. Did you ever have like horse girl at your school? She's like kind of weird, but like a little stuck up.
Like equestrian?
Too into horses, maybe in a sexual way, more than people.
Okay, it's not necessarily sexual, but yeah.
It's not necessarily, I said maybe, but it does happen quite a lot. The Venn diagram is...
It's just like kind of weird. I'm not trying to be a bully. It's just these people exist, but now they're all like Fortune 500 CEOs because they're sociopaths. But like, I'm not trying to be a bully, but like, you know...
You know, the Bronfman... Like, the Bronfman sisters,
yes,
for sure,
horse CM or horse people.
100%. Those are horse girls. They're susceptible to joining cults. Like, same way that Rachel's bag got stolen because she left her wallet out in an airport. Like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, your bag's gonna, or your wallet's gonna get stolen. Like, she's horse girl, and they're like, oh, they think they're better than you. They're a little snotty. It's like Amanda Knox. It's like, yes, we know she didn't murder that girl in Italy, but she deserved all the hell she went through because she was just such a horse girl that you're like, yeah, bitch, you're annoying. Go to jail in Italy for a while. Still not humble, though. Like, that's the problem. She goes to jail in Italy, comes out, not humble. Come on. Like, there's a reason they cornered you, bitch. You were annoying and stuck up. Sorry, I have, like, Amanda Knox issues. But, like, that's the vibe.
Have you read her bio? Her bio ends with, her bubbly personality and stunning looks are known to garner attention from the men around her.
Amanda Knox's bio?
No, Aisling Lorger's bio.
Aisling.
Oh, weird.
Is that her name? Lorger?
Aisling Lorger. She's an Aussie with previous career as a hairdresser. But by 19, she qualified professionally and she made her own business. And then she was like, you know what? I want to travel the world. And she found career opportunities yachting and she didn't think twice. Within a week, she booked airfare and accommodations and scheduled her certification course.
So No, I'm saying Rachel's the horse girl.
Right about that. I'm going to find Rachel's bio right now. I'm already there.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Well, she was in ROTC and that's why she's so like rigid and she knows how to iron pants. And Elizabeth's like, Rachel's my soul sister because she's so direct and sure of herself. And I'm like, that's going to manifest in her being rude to you later on. But okay.
So Rachel's from Florida, from Tampa.
Uh-huh. Explains it.
She's self-taught, but she got an apprenticeship at a Michelin-starred restaurant in Italy.
Of course.
And then she lived in Thailand, Japan, India, and Italy to expand her craft.
Horse girl.
She also does molecular gastronomy for gluten-free pasta.
Horse girl.
And she admits her demanding professionalism can be polarizing to others, but no matter their opinion, she's always sure to stand her ground on deck.
Horse stand girl. Your ground? Ugh, that's a trigger for me.
A very Florida thing to say.
She's
that
a horse
girl. Is literally what she means. She's baiting fucking millionaires in Florida.
She's a horse girl. All right. Anyway, Shane says he's really physically drained because a deckhand only gets 6 hours of sleep, but he can't seem to figure out what that means with how long he's awake. So he goes to take a nap without telling Eddie. And then Eddie finds him aggressively sleeping and gets shaken to his core. And that's where the episode ends, which means Eddie's going to lose his shit on Shane next episode. Looking forward to it. Nick, hit us
boat
with some boat facts with Nikki T's.
Okay. I have found out about the existence of something pretty bonkers called a punt gun. Is anyone familiar with this?
No.
It is a giant shotgun, basically, that's like, you know, four times the size of a shotgun, enough that you cannot hold it and shoot it yourself. You either have to have like a buddy or two, or most commonly it's like put on the back of a boat. It doesn't have to be a very big boat, but its purpose is to shoot out like 100 times more pellets than a shotgun. People would put them on the back of their boat and then boat into an area of water with a lot of waterfowl around. And then with one shot of this punt gun, you can kill like 50 waterfowl and then just scoop them up and you're done with the day. And it actually led to dwindling numbers of waterfowl, and it became illegal like 60 years ago. It's absolutely insane. And that's my
Jesus.
My boat fact for today.
Oh, it's boat facts. I was wondering what was I was like, how do you it's know boat about facts. Sure. Boat facts?
Yeah, sorry, boat facts aren't really about boats. We've already kind of, yeah, I mean, do you expect much from the show?
This is a boat fact because this is,
right,
its
right.
purpose, yeah, was to be put on the back of a boat because that's how you get close to the waterfowl. But the gun is not illegal. You can own the gun and use the gun. You're just not allowed to shoot birds with it. And so nobody makes it. And there's like 100 left in the world. My first thought of it when I read about it, it turned out to be a blunderbuss. Do you know what that is? Like a shotgun that has like the really wide end, like the bell-shaped end.
Sure, yeah.
And it's like looks like really cartoony.
Yeah.
But no, it's just like a straight up, there's no cartoon end. It's just a massive fucking shotgun.
Wow.
All right, well, that was an interesting boat facts.
Punt guns.
Nikki T's.
Boat facts with Nikki T.
You're
welcome.
I'll post photos of punt guns on our Instagram, so look out for that. All right, Behzad, that's the end of this episode. Tell people where they can find you and follow you.
Behzad Dabu, BehzadDabu on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm always there.
You go by Behzad. I always call you Behzad because I'm like so Persianed out.
You're saying it correctly, but I gave up on that at like age 4 and just went to Behzad. Mm. But yeah, it would be Behzad, yeah. BehzadDabu. But it's funny, like I'm Iranian, but only in blood because my ethnicity is Indian. So it's like weird. Anyway, Behzad. Behzad Dabu.
That's how it goes. You never know what you're going to get when you come from the Middle East.
Also, the punt guns were banned from using it on waterfowl 160 years ago. Formal law 100 years ago. Sorry.
Thank you for that follow-up. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. That was Season 8, Episode 4 of Below Deck. You can follow us at Deckheads Pod on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us at deckheadspod@gmail.com. Hey, I have a great idea. Leave us a 5-star review if you're enjoying yourself. We're having great guests like Behzad and so many more to come. Leave a boat fact in the review. Nick needs it. Anyway, also check out our merch on TeePublic. We have merch, TeePublic, baby. Do that. I'm at Anna Hostier. Nick is at Nick's Turners. And let's all hop onto this little boat and get the fuck out of here.
Deckheads is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.